Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We have a Facebook and a YouTube page if you want to watch the show live there, or you want to access the stories that we're discussing. We have the original news sources, so you can have them for yourself. Go to Facebook and type in Today's Issues or YouTube. We also video stream there as well. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City, Kansas, and we're in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Y'all is doing good? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I speak for all of us here.
Good. I asked all of you.
We may need to move them over. We had issues with that mic plug in a couple weeks ago.
All right, so
shift him over.
I'm moving.
Steve's okay, on the move.
We're gonna have to move Steve. Now you're gonna be 2 feet from me. You got any fever or anything?
Not yet.
Remember, if he's not symptomatic, he's good.
Huh?
If he's not symptomatic, he's good. According to WHO.
Right. Is that better? Ah, yep. There we go.
Got you.
Now I gotta get.
I'll bring your stuff over.
Go get Steve's stuff so you can move it over here.
Big time radio.
Oh, I mean, this is it.
Hold on, I bring your stuff over here. Here, you touch it. I'm not going to touch it.
You've already got whatever he's got, Tim.
So. He's ready for class, Steve.
You remember, Ray, back in March when all this hit and Dr. Fauci came out and all that, scared the world, that scared us all to death?
Right.
I remember, I was under the impression that this was like a flea. You know, they could just jump off.
Yeah.
Right.
Jump off my dog and onto me and in my life. You remember that? Everybody was washing our hands 17 times a day and didn't have any fingerprints left. And huh?
That's right. It feels like that was about 3 years ago. We've gone through so many evolutions and revolutions since then. Long time ago.
Now I'm just getting my popcorn out like normal.
That's right.
And eating it like normal. And I'm okay. At least so far. I may be asymptomatic passing it right now, Walker.
Maybe.
But the WHO says I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm still keeping my distance. All right,
are you really? Okay. Yeah.
600 miles, 400 miles.
Well, that's true.
That should do it.
From us here. All right, Steve.
I heard you guys talking last hour about how this defunding the police is going to affect the police, whether they will engage, whether you'll empty the academies because no one wants to be a policeman anymore.
Well, if they don't get paid, I don't think they're going to be doing it.
I would agree. And so does a gentleman.
You going to find voluntary cops?
Named Travis Yates. I found this article just after our morning meeting, and it was strong and powerful, and it is posted up at onenewsnow.com. If you look at the section, the latest from the web, you'll get a copy of this, and it's titled America, We Are Leaving. And Travis Yates is a law enforcement officer and a trainer, and this is what he writes. He says, "This is the hardest thing I have written," and then he goes on to explain that he grew up in a law enforcement family. He's third generation. He writes, "The mentally ill used to get treatment. Now they just send cops. Kid used to be taught respect, and now it's cool to be disrespectful. Supervisors used to back you when you were right, but now they accuse you of being wrong in order to appease crazy people." He goes on to say, "Today, all of that is over. I wouldn't wish this job on my worst enemy. I would never send anyone I care about into the hell that this profession has become. It's the only job you can do everything right and lose everything for it. It's the only job where the same citizens risk your life for you, hate you for it. This job is a walking time bomb, and you could get canceled or prosecuted on the very next call, even if you do everything right."
Hmm.
He says, "I used to talk cops out of leaving. Now I'm encouraging them. If you aren't going to have to abolish the police, we won't be around for it. If you think Minneapolis will turn into Mogadishu, and that is far from you, it's coming. And when it does, remember, your complicity did it in by not speaking up."
Who is this?
His name is Travis Yates. This is at lawenforcement.com. It's a law enforcement
blog site,
right?
And he's been in the profession how long?
27 years.
Wow. You know where he lives? Does it say? Where he's a cop?
Husband? This does not say.
Okay. So, but what he's saying is that because the disrespecting now and the demonizing of police work,
yeah,
all over America, because in large part these rallies were pronouncement on the police that they are, well, systematically unjust.
Right.
Is that right? Or, so he's saying that police are going to leave.
They're leaving.
They're either retiring or resigning, getting out, moving to a smaller community.
Yeah.
Where they can get work there, but this is gonna hurt police, law and order around the country.
Listen to what he says here. He says doctors kill 250,000 people a year. They call them medical mistakes because society understands they do a very difficult job under high stress, and they must make the best possible decision in the moment. Law enforcement is tasked with the same thing, and we are highly successful despite the most violent society we've ever seen. Less than 1,000 suspects a year are killed. 96% are attacking us with weapons,
right,
and all but a few are attacking us with their cars or their fists, and more with simulated guns so Benjamin Crump can help their family win the lottery. Benjamin Crump is a civil rights attorney that has engineered a lot of these.
Yeah,
losses.
And I think we need to be clear that when things like, and like we said this last hour, when things happen like Dad described in Dallas last year, like we saw happen on the video with George Floyd, when things horrible like that happen, then our system has things in place and laws in place that you can prosecute officers for excessive force. It happens, doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. District attorneys and the FBI and DOJ prosecute bad cops every year. But what that officer right there is saying is, the other 99.9% of run-ins with officers where they handle it great and handle it proper, we don't need to be demonizing them.
But I think the narrative, again, a lot of what we talk about here, folks, I don't have statistics in front of me on everything. A lot of it is just opinion. And what I'm expressing right now is just opinion. I don't have facts necessarily to back what I'm about to say up. But my sense is, Ray, that it is generally true that there is a distrust among a majority of African Americans of policemen, of the
right.
Police. Do you agree with that, or do you?
Well, I think statistics and the stories. I think if you just go out on an ad hoc basis,
yes,
there's a disconnect between the African-American community and the law enforcement community here in America. Some of it justified, some of it unjustified. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, Steve, about what the fellow wrote there. If people like him, good guys and gals, if they leave the police forces of America, especially in the big cities, what are we left with? Either we're left with bad cops or left with people who are unqualified, ill-trained, and frankly shouldn't be armed and out in a car policing. Things cannot possibly get better if the good people leave the police force. And that, I think, is the thing that concerns me the most. You know, I think back to what my friend said, the Chicago cop said, which is kind of basically the same thing, was just a year and a half ago. You know you're going to face trouble. You know people are going to misunderstand, but if you think that the people who are supposed to have your back are going to be there to take care of you or at least hear you out, then okay, you can do your job. But if you have concluded they're not going to back me up in the department, they're not going to give me a fair hearing at City Hall, or I'm going to be hung out to dry in the press, you know, there might be a better way to make a living.
You know, and all these parade of horribles that we're talking about right now is under the what happens if they defund the police, give them less money. No, we haven't even started on what's going to happen if they abolish the police.
Hmm. Right.
What? Again, this is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
There it is.
Because let's take Minneapolis, for example. That's where Target's located. You have other large businesses that are located in downtown Minneapolis. Walker, you and I were there. Mm-hmm. And so are those businesses going to be okay with no police to keep people from breaking in their buildings or looting them, and you call and nobody there's nobody to call.
Right.
You call some kind of social worker.
Yeah, in order to have a civilized society, you absolutely have to have law enforcement. But there's no example of where you can get rid of law enforcement and things work out better.
What's going to happen is Target is going to move their headquarters.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have nobody living there.
And with that, they're going to move, 10,000 jobs? So you're going to have...
Well, it's de facto happening now in these cities. Like Chicago, for example, and what Ray talked about earlier. There's nobody going to put a business in those areas of Chicago that are where all this killing is going on every weekend. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to do that. And let me just go to also back to the pandering, which I mentioned last hour. I think the Democrat Party, some people are going to go, duh, but the Democrat Party panders to a lot of special interest groups. The Republican Party does too. Okay, pandering is a part of politics on both sides. I understand that. But this is serious. The Democrat Party panders to black folks. Now, they pander to Hispanic folks, too, because they say the Republicans are against allowing brown people to come to America, illegally. Therefore, you are a xenophobe or you're a racist. So they pander, and you're hateful. Now, so they're pandering, the Democrats are pandering to black folks to say, look how bad and evil the Republicans are. And hateful they are. They do that so they don't have to deal with this. Black on black crime, for example. The how many people died in Chicago?
Like 16 or 18
over the
weekend?
And how many people were wounded?
I had that number.
I think over 70 were wounded.
Yeah. Okay, that's almost exclusively black folks.
Yeah.
And it's black folks shooting at black folks.
Right.
So if black lives really mattered.
18 murders, 24 hours.
Okay, if black lives really mattered, if that's the issue, then wouldn't you be addressing that?
Right.
No, why wouldn't you be? Well, I mean the Democratic Party, and a lot of black folks are understanding this now, what's going on.
Yeah, they're waking up.
They're waking up to this, Walker, but so it's not black lives matter to the Democratic Party, it's how many votes we can get to keep these cities in control of Democrats and have a Democrat elected at the federal level, president, for example.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only federal vote you can have. While they want to focus on racism against black people, that's easier, that's ambiguous, that's hard to define. You can use examples of this, like this cop in Minneapolis, to say this is going on all over the country when it isn't. So it's easier to fan the flames against police and against white people, when in fact the more serious problem, the real problem, is black folks killing black folks.
Yeah, if the Democrats and the left don't keep people stirred up on these false narratives, then that same voting bloc that they're stirring up, in this case, the black community and the black vote, then those people will begin to see that, hey, we've been living in Democrat-run cities for decades, and these same Democrats who are accusing the Republicans of being the problem and the conservatives, they've been running this city for 70 years.
Including the police departments.
Including the police departments, and they've done nothing to fix and better our lives.
Yeah.
And I think you saw a lot of people vote for President Trump in 2017. That's why the African-American vote was up slightly for President Trump in 16, because people said, I want jobs and opportunity to better my family and my life instead of this old Democrat stuff.
Ray, I think more and more African Americans are catching on to this. What's going on here?
Well, look, if you just look at the African American community, they want what everybody else wants, right? They want security. They want to know they can walk the streets at night. They want to know they've got good services for the children. They've got good schools to go to. So, yeah, they can hear this kind of talk about defunding the police, and they go, you take away any police protection, things can only get worse. It's going to get more dangerous and more hopeless.
You're talking about, so, yeah. Particularly, you're talking about big cities now. I don't think it'll ever come to the point where in smaller towns or let's say populations under 200,000, where you're gonna get defunding of the cops. That's just not going to happen. The black or the white people in those communities are not going to go for
it. Well, many of the red states and the conservative states, a large amount of their population are armed because of the Second Amendment. But you go to these big cities, and so that's a crime deterrent, statistically. It's having armed citizens. But you go to the big cities where it's nearly impossible to own a firearm. That's where the crime is really the highest.
Also, in these mid to smaller populated communities across America, the police departments and the sheriff departments do a great job of community relations.
Right.
They do.
Proactive police.
Yes. They intentionally get out. They meet with the pastors. They have monthly gatherings. The pastors, the business leaders, the community leaders, parents, they go and listen. They go and try to build relationships. So that's very helpful, you know what I'm saying, to build that kind of trust. And they get to know each other on a first name basis. But you get into these big metropolitan areas, mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen because it's too big. There's too many people. Go ahead, Steve.
You mentioned pandering and virtue signaling. For some reason now, healthcare is a Black Lives Matter issue. In Kentucky, the governor, Andy Beshear of Kentucky, has promised everybody free health insurance so long as you're black. Cut five.
As I've been listening and I've been trying to hear what those have been giving voice on in inequality is saying it's time for prioritization in black and African American communities. So we are going to do that. My commitment today is we are going to begin an effort to cover 100% of our individuals in our black and African American communities. Everybody. We're going to be putting dollars behind it. We're going to have a multifaceted campaign to do it. But it's time, especially during COVID-19, when we see what happens when you don't have coverage, we're going to make sure that everybody does.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with that right there if he was basing it on people's economic status.
Right. Everybody that makes under $70,000.
Yeah, if you want to say, if you want to say we're going to cover poor people,
right. Like Obamacare,
who can't afford insurance, right. That's a state decision. They can do whatever they want to. That's for the people of Kentucky to decide. But to say, to make it I don't think you can do that. I would just
right,
right.
That won't stand up under constitutional scrutiny. Right, you can't offer state-supported insurance for one race to the exclusion of others.
You talk about racist. Well, next week the Hispanics are going to come to him, and then Asian Americans are going to come to him.
Yeah,
and then, huh?
You know, these are the same.
This sounds that's pandering.
Yeah, these are the same folks though that say we need unity, we need justice. We're all right. Americans under the same law.
President Trump is dividing the country.
But then here they are splitting people up into groups.
Wow. Let me tell you something. This is 6 weeks worth of programming I'm about to talk about. But
you got seven minutes.
Yeah, I know. Listen, human beings, when you start giving them stuff, we all know this to be true. We all get lazy. Mm-hmm. All right? Doesn't matter who we are. People, if your daddy just, that's why you see a lot of wealthy people, they won't give their kids just everything they want, even though they could. Why? Because they know what traits that'll develop in them. Slothfulness and laziness and you won't have self-respect. You start just handing out stuff to people. That's what happened in the 1960s. In the name of trying to make up for past injustices. Okay, and I'm not saying, there are some people who say it was intentional that the Great Society or the welfare programs in the 60s, which came during the Civil Rights Movement about that same time, they were designed, public housing, for example, They were designed to try to compensate the African American community for the injustices they had, the real life injustices mm-hmm. that they had suffered up to that point. So you start trying to overcompensate.
A strong argument could be made that that was also the reason they did the Great Society, was to kind of keep people in the government's...
Yes, that's what some people say. I would say I'm giving the people who started that the benefit of the doubt that they had good intentions. Now, a lot of people say, like you say, Steve, no, they knew what they were doing. They were getting the black community addicted to these programs, and they were going to be... Democrat from here on out. But what happened was, and this, again, this is human nature. This isn't just because somebody's a skin color. But you start giving checks out for not getting married?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To have babies?
Higher checks.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's what happened. So then you incentivize people having babies out of wedlock, right? And again, you could do this to any community. So I remember one time I was working with an African-American lady. This is 30 years ago. And I don't know all the ins and outs of all the social help programs, folks. I'm sure there's some good – I know there's a lot of good things out there that are done. But I was working with her, and she had three children, and she didn't have a husband, but yet her boyfriend would come by who was the father of the kids at work every night.
Wow.
And she would tell me, I said, why don't you get married? I didn't know any better. I knew her as a friend. I wasn't trying to be offensive. I said, those are y'all's three kids and you won't get married? Mm-hmm. I said, why aren't you getting married? She said, well, the government will stop giving them the checks, the money. I said, wow, really? Yeah. So you see there,
right.
You multiply that time
thousands and thousands
of people, you get what you have today, which is a 75% fatherless rate,
mm-hmm.
which leads to all kind of societal problems
right.
that we're seeing manifest out today. So the Democrats, to me, have been an utter failure to – I'm not saying Republicans have all the answers, and they got their problems too. I'm just saying fundamentally the Democrats, the way they have – treated the African American community as basically a new way of slavery has been disastrous.
Yes, agreed.
Go ahead, Steve.
As we leave here, someone has reimagined what a 911 call is going to be like after the police are gone. This is Cut 7.
Thank you for calling 911. Due to the defunding as a result of the marches against police brutality, there are no officers available to respond to your emergency. At the end of this message, please describe in detail why you are calling, and a member of our team will return your call within 4 to 5 business days. Our services now include social workers, therapists, and mediators. For example, if somebody is robbing your house, we will send out a mediator in 4 to 5 days to kindly ask them to stop. If this is a life-threatening emergency, please hang up and ask your higher being to help you.
Oh, my word. Can we get that in Spanish?
Wow. Probably, yeah, right?
That's great.
Oh, my goodness. All right. That's well, great. You know, bottom line is what we can do, folks, is we can keep loving one another, trying to follow Jesus, and praying for our leaders and our country, and doing what we can. Because the Bible teaches that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't discriminate.
Yep.
All right? So we are in spiritual warfare in this nation. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My privilege.
Well, thanks, dude. Fred, for being on earlier, and Walker. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.